Hear now this reading from the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Mark, chapter 9, verses 38 through 50. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the literary devices that is found commonly throughout the Bible is the literary device known as idiom. An idiom is a particular expression of everyday speech that attempts to say one thing but means something else. Sometimes we use idioms to soften blows or be kind about another person's feelings. Other times we use idioms and don't even know we're doing it. For example, have you ever said when you were tired late at night or early in the day, "I'm going to hit the hay or the sack," or "I'm going to go sack out for a while"? Have you ever known anyone who has been in hot water for weeks and months on end? That's me right there. Or perhaps someone you know has been up in the air about a business deal that's been going on for a while. Those are all idioms. Hit the sack, hit the hay, in hot water, up in the air, weeks on end. But we use lots of idioms. We don't even know we're doing it. Next time you're talking with someone, listen to yourself. And in the course of a conversation, you may be surprised how many idioms you use. We blow our tops. We lose our marbles. I've lost mine a long time ago. We become hot under the collar. Have you ever had a friend, or have you ever been in a pickle, or a jam, or out on a limb? These are all idioms. Have you ever paid an arm and a leg for an item? Some people are dressed fit to kill. We put bugs in people's ears and ask them to get off our backs. Sometimes we go around with chips on our shoulders. What kind of chips? That's what I've always wanted to know. Poker chips? Cow chips? What kind of chips? Tortilla chips? Where's the queso? My favorite idioms, however, are hyperboles. Now you may be going, huh? Didn't we do that in geometry class? No, no, no. It's a different kind of hyperbole. Now, when I say, I'm starving to death, am I?
No.
No. I'm about 9 or 10 months away from starving to death. We all know that. When I say, I'm so hungry I could eat a zebra, not only am I quoting from The Lion King, I'm also using hyperbole. I'm not really hungry enough that I could eat a zebra. Nor would I really want to eat a zebra, even if I had one. Mother used to complain that I never cleaned up my room. Now, was that true?
No.
Yes! That's what I would say. No. Mother might say, yeah, but it's hyperbole. I did clean up my room from time to time. Not as frequently as Mother would like, but I did clean it up. You never eat your vegetables. Now, while I never eat steamed broccoli, steamed okra, that slimy stuff, I do eat a lot of vegetables. Mothers in general, I suppose, but my mother in particular, just loves to use hyperbole to make her point. And that's what the idiom does, hyperbolically speaking. It makes a point. You are exaggerating something to make your point. A good example of a hyperbole in the New Testament is when Jesus said, if you hate not your father, mother, sister, brother, yea, your own life also, you cannot be my disciple. Now, does that mean that Jesus says that you're supposed to hate with emotional venom your parents, your siblings? I won't go to the sibling part. Yourself? You're supposed to hate with emotional venom your family? No. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is actually saying you must prefer him over family, over mother, father, sister, brother, and life as well. But he also says elsewhere that you're to love your neighbor as yourself. And if you don't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor. It's clear that Jesus is being hyperbolic, swinging his statement to an extreme to make his point. He's being hyperbolic when he says that you must hate father, mother, sister, brother, and life as well to be his disciple. To make the point that we are to love him first and follow and obey him first before we follow and obey and love family, country, self. Okay? Well, my friends, we have another example of hyperbole here today. The passage is a fascinating one. In my lectionary study group, my seminary friends on the internet on Monday, we're discussing how we were going to preach on it, and I think most of us are actually preaching on this passage right now today, and most of them are focusing either on the passage about, you know, let the little children come to me, and if you put a stumbling block in the path, they might as well just tie, you know, rocks around their necks and throw themselves into the sea because they're going to go to hell. And others wanted to preach on the community of the church and how we're called to be one in Christ based upon the passage that even people who did not follow Jesus were casting out demons in Jesus' name, and Jesus says, don't stop them. Because eventually, this is essentially what he says, eventually they will follow me. And they certainly won't curse my name. But I wanted to focus, and I was the only one, who wanted to focus on these words. If your hand offends thee, cut it off. If your foot offends thee, cut it off. If your eye offends thee, pluck it out. When I was a chaplain at Duke University Medical Center in Durham, North Carolina, I was on call one evening, and it had been a long day and a very quiet night. And so I was surprised when the pager went off, and I went down to the emergency room, and I went in, and it wasn't very busy down there except for one room. And when I went in and I noticed that the guy was on the gurney strapped down. He couldn't move his arms. And his left side of his head was bandaged, especially around his eye, really, really thickly. And you could see blood seeping through. So I turned to the nurse and I said, "What's going on here?" And she says, "Well, we thought we needed to call you because of what this man did and why." And so I turned to him and I said, "What happened?" And the man said, "I saw something so horrific. I saw a child being abused sexually. And so I obeyed Jesus. And I took a spoon and gouged out my eye." Aren't you glad we're not having lunch today? He took Jesus literally. The man had a history of mental problems. But he did what many of us want to do a lot. And that's take Jesus literally, even where Jesus is being hyperbolic. He's exaggerating to make a point. Jesus is not on a crusade here for chopping off your hand or cutting off your foot or plucking out your eye or in any way maiming your body. That's not the focus of the passage here, my friends. This passage here is not about harming yourself. The passage here is about how horrible and destructive and damaging sin is. How destructive to a life of faith, how separating it is from God. This is about how horrible it is to place a stumbling block in front of someone else in their path to Jesus. This is about how horrible our sins are for us and how we are to avoid them. It would be better, Jesus says, to cut off your hand and live with one rather than live with two hands and sin with them and go to hell as a result. He's not saying chop it off, literally. He's being hyperbolic here. He's exaggerating to make his point that even better to live with two hands and serve the Lord. Okay? The same is true for the feet. If your feet are carrying you into sin, the literal interpretation here is chop one of them off. Then it won't be able to carry you into sin. Well, I could certainly find other ways to sin, even if I had only one foot. You could too. He's saying here, better to serve the Lord with your feet. Better to introduce people to Jesus with your feet than to allow one of them to sin. And about the eye, he's not saying gouge your eyes out when you see something sinful or when something that you see leads you towards sin. Rather, focus on the things that edify and build up. Focus on the scripture. Focus on the life of the faith of those who've gone before us. Focus on your loved ones and of the calling to be a godly family. The use of the imagery of chopping off limbs and gouging out eyes is hyperbolic. It's designed to make the point that sin is evil. It comes between us and God. And when it comes, if we do not push it out of the way, if it is not removed from our path, if we don't try to go around it, it will cause us to stumble and we will suffer for it. Life becomes hell and our eternity is in question. The good news is, we have access to Jesus, to his name, to His Word, to His grace, to His Holy Spirit, who can come and transform us so that we won't sin with our hands, our feet, or our eyes, or our mouths. We have access to the means of grace here today. This is World Communion Sunday. And it is somewhat hyperbolic to say this, but it is, at least in theory, true, that today is one of the few Sundays of the year when people from many, many, many denominations all over the world have communion. Some churches have communion once or twice a year. This is one of those Sundays when they have it. This is a time when we, as the body of Christ, regardless of our denomination, regardless of our church affiliation, meet together to receive together the means of grace in Holy Communion. And these means of grace, the ones that we have partaken of already in the Scripture and in the hymns and in the prayers and in the fellowshipping together, in studying the Word in Sunday school, these means of grace in communion, these means of grace that we experience today in giving, these means of grace can transform us so that we won't sin with our hands and our feet and our eyes, and so that we might truly enter into glory whole. That's the good news for you and me today. Sometimes Jesus speaks hyperbolically, in exaggerations, to make His point clear. It was a common way of speaking amongst the Hebrew people. They did it all the time. That's hyperbolic too, by the way. Idioms are common in all languages, including in Hebrew and Greek. And hyperbolic statements are among those kinds of idioms. So the next time your mother tells you, kids, that you never clean up your room, make their statement hyperbolic and clean it up. The next time you read Jesus saying something very harsh, think about what He's saying. Read through the lines. Read through the passages to see what it is that Jesus is actually saying and meaning for us to hear and receive. Because what I told the kids today in the children's sermon is very true. When I sat down back there, David said, "Well, now you don't have to preach," as I just did. And he was right. No matter what we do, God still loves us. Doesn't love what we do, but He loves us and wants to forgive us and will transform us too, so that we might live as He would have us live. Hear the good news today. Receive the means of grace and rejoice in the presence of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.